So 2 days after they're married, young bride, groom takes off, no communication. And for those of us who remember previous days before cell phones, you remember how hard that was. You could write a letter, not an email, a letter. You could call on the payphone, but as Sam said, how frustrating it is that you'd get someplace where there was a payphone and then they wouldn't be home. So miscommunication and troubles and all of that eventually doesn't change, but it does change internally because they brought Christ into their marriage and Christ into their life. And they brought hope into their relationship. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 25. A verse that Teresa and Sam shared with me that was a verse they really clung to over the years was Psalm 25, verse 5. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. But let me back up to verse 4, because I want us to see this. There's this group of verses here in Psalm 25 that I think teaches us something about a little bit maybe what the Scribes went through and maybe a little bit of what we go through. So if you will, I'm going to read through these verses starting in verse 4. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are my God, my Savior. And my hope is in you all the day long. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from old. Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you are good, O Lord. When we look at these verses, I am reminded of the fact that we love to do things our way. The first thing that I think we can take from this passage is the God's way versus our way approach to life. Now, if you think about what we looked at in this testimony was that one of the things that Teresa loved about Sam was that he was a take charge kind of guy. He was a take charge kind of way. He wanted to do things Sam's way. If we could go to the next slide, God's way versus our way. The way that we look at life really determines how things go in life. The tendency is to do things the way we want to do them. And it works great for him as a riverboat captain. Because in a riverboat captain, somebody has to be in charge. Otherwise, you can have accidents. You can lose your cargo. There's problems. But sometimes in life, we have to realize we don't have it all worked out. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9 tells us this. God speaking to the prophet says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." Now, for most of us, you may have heard this verse before. But if you never have, this may ring true with you for the first time. God's thoughts are higher than ours. Now, not just because he's in heaven. Not because he's higher than us. But because he has a greater scope and understanding from beginning to end, the eternity to eternity, Alpha to Omega, understands the universe and our place in it. I'm reminded so often when I deal with my children that they're very myopic in their view of what needs to happen because they're very concerned about their satisfaction and their happiness in this immediate moment. Whereas we as adults tend to, hopefully, have some greater scope. We understand that sometimes when we say in just a minute, it may be an hour or two, especially if you're waiting for your wife to get ready. I say that because she's not here this morning. But the reality is, sometimes we say that, and I remember as a child, because my mom was a talker, and she never met a stranger. We would go to the grocery store, and she would get talking to somebody, which as a child, you know, the grocery store was not the most exciting place anyways. And there you are, stuck in the frozen food section. And not like the ice cream area, where at least you got something to look at. You know, it's like the frozen vegetables. Like, ooh, Brussels sprouts and lima beans. And you're looking at these, and you're waiting, and you're like, oh my gosh. Mom, if you could just hurry up, Mom. And she'll say, just a minute. And you just knew. As a kid, my mom didn't let us wear watches. I think I know why now. But in our relationship with God, it is so much bigger than just little things like waiting to get done talking at the grocery store. It's waiting for that loved one to come home when they're deployed to Afghanistan or Iraq. It's waiting for that spouse that you've been suspecting may not be faithful and they're a little late for getting home for work. It's your loved one that's laying there in the bed facing terminal illness that you're praying either for healing or for release so that they can go and be with the Lord. And that just a minute seems like a long time. But we have to learn to trust in God's way because our way is not always the best. James 4, 13 through 15 tells us this. Now listen to those who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to do this and go do that in a city and spend, say, a year there and carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this. But that is so hard to do, isn't it? Is James telling us we can't make plans? No. But when we make plans, let us understand, it is not through our power and through our way that we make those things happen and accomplish them. If we were to say we're going to go to this city or that and we shall start a business or we will conduct our lives there and we will have success, it's because God has given us the ability to do so. So let's go to the one who gave us that ability and ask him. Lord, guide me in this. Direct me in this. Now, I love, and there's so much we could have shown you. There were some great moments in the videotaping of this, of the communication between the two of them, and talking about some of those early days when you had to maybe make a radio call and try to communicate through some of the nautical ways that they used, and the difficulty in that, and the lack of privacy and all that good stuff. And how that when we see them now and we see that they are so in love, that there was a time when they weren't so sure. But they, as I said earlier, they didn't necessarily change their lifestyle. They had the same challenges, but there was a difference. They brought Christ into their life. And you may have noticed that story that Sam told about how he kind of counseled the younger guy, saying, look, quit arguing with your wife over the phone. She's back home doing what she's doing. You're here. Let her take care of the home. He was speaking out of experience. You see, in our lives, we are so worried about our circumstances and so concerned. You know, maybe Sam would love to have had that, or Teresa would have loved to go back to when they were first married and somehow teleport back a cell phone back to like 1976. And maybe things would have been better. But without Christ in their life, the communication necessarily would not have been any better. Technology would have been better. In our own lives, what is there in our life that we are worried about? What circumstance are we facing today? That we are wishing and hoping that if things were just different, life would be better. Instead, maybe we could be like James says and say to God, Lord, if it's your will, whatever this is that's going on right now, if it's your will, let it be. Let it be so that you are glorified. Let it be so that if I do get through this, if it does succeed, then I can say with all my heart, it is because of the Lord that this is accomplished. So people don't look and say, oh, look at what he did or she did. But look at what the Lord did. That's a testimony. But that doesn't happen if we continue to do things our way. The second thing that I see in this passage here is it tells us to, in verse 6, remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from old. I'm reminded of Ephesians chapter 1 when Paul writes this. For he, speaking of God, chose us in him before when? Before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. Mercy and love were his plan the whole time. God is not playing catch up. He's not scrambling to come up with a plan B. He's had one plan from the very beginning. In fact, from before the very beginning. So when there's those times in your relationship and there's times in your life and you start to wonder if God knows what's going on, realize that he did and does and had a plan before you even got into the mess. Is it hard? Yes. Do you still have to go through it? Yes. But can we take comfort and have hope to know that he realized before this started, before I was born, before this circumstance occurred, he had a plan. And that plan was mercy and love. Jason, you don't know what I'm going through. The loss of a loved one. The pain of our broken relationship, the loss of a job, the difficulty in finding a job, the general life is kicking me down. And God has mercy and love for me? In a word, yes. Is it difficult to see at times? Difficult to accept at times? Yes. But let me encourage you to have the hope that he will see you through it. He chose us to be in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless. Not mediocre. Not getting by. He chose us to be awesome. It's a word we throw around a lot nowadays. Everything from good pizza to a movie to I made good time in traffic is awesome. But we have to go back and remember where the root of that comes from is the word awe. And that is a reference to the reflection of God, is that when we think and contemplate on the holiness and awesomeness of God, He is amazing and awesome and indescribable. And He wants us to be like Him. And I do not know why He chooses suffering and difficulties to be the process that we achieve this holiness and awesomeness, but He Himself went through it. Christ, in all of His perfection, still came to this earth and suffered as we did. Walked around, stubbed His toe, spent 3 years with 12 stinky guys, then went to a cross and suffered and died. Because He had a plan of mercy and love. But here's the problem for us. Even if we accept that mercy and love, sometimes we don't see ourselves as anything but sinners still. I'm still me. Good news. God remembers the sinner, but not the sin. Verse 7 in Psalm 25 says this, "Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you are good, O Lord." Sam told some stories. We didn't share on the video, but some stories of some wild times being a young guy out on the river. And he also shared some times about reflecting on those after he came to Christ and knowing that God had forgiven him of those. We all have had those things that we probably would be super embarrassed if ever saw it again. But God remembers the sinner, not the sin. Now for us, it's really hard to do. I know that there are some times when you see somebody and you know that they've done something to you or to others that have been hurtful. And every time you see them, you think of that. A word that was said, an action that was taken. Perhaps we should be more like God and remember the sinner and not the sin. Offer forgiveness when it seems like you cannot offer. In Isaiah 43, Jeremiah 31, Hebrews 8, and Hebrews 10, and in other places, God says this, He remembers our sin no more. Psalm 103, verse 12 tells us that He has separated us from our sin as far as the east is from the west. And one of my favorites, Micah 7, 19, it tells us that He hurls the sin into the depths of the ocean. Now here's the problem. We like to go fishing for those. We try to dredge them back up on ourselves and on others. But we who call ourselves Christians, who call ourselves to be Christ-like, we need to be demonstrating the forgiveness and love and mercy that the Heavenly Father has given us. Teresa and Sam shared in their video that after Christ came into their relationship and into their life, they got back on the same path. Because they started to walk God's path. We all love to walk our own. But if we will humble ourselves and walk according to what God teaches us, if we will have love and mercy as the Father does, and if we will learn to forgive one another, remembering the person, not the sin, we can have hope. Hope for new relationships. Hope for new marriages. hope for that return of a wayward child, a connection with a parent. Hope for a connection to our Heavenly Father. Have you accepted Him? Have you accepted His love and mercy? If you never have, today could be that day. We have all sinned. We have all fallen short. But from the very beginning, before the foundation of the earth, before He spoke those words in Genesis 1:1, let there be, and there was, He had a plan. And that plan was for you to be blameless and holy through Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, just thank You so much for Your Son's sacrifice. Thank You, God, that You have love and mercy and that You provide hope for us. For those of you in this room who have never prayed, would you pray with me? God, I admit I'm a sinner. I admit that I have not been blameless, that I have done wrong. But I accept Your love and mercy through Your Son, Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect life, who died on the cross, and who rose again. And God, I accept Your invitation to be with You for all eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.